www.radiofortheCatholic.net.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to the Doctor's Inn, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling this toll-free number, 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to call if you'd like some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. I've caught my breath now. I had to run and get my laptop because my regular radio computer is not connecting correctly, so hopefully I'll get to see who's on the line. But call Andrew now, and he'll take your calls and hopefully let me know who's on the line, because you decide what we're talking about today. I'm here to help you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess, usually on Mondays and Fridays, and Dr. Ray Guarendi is usually here on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and we are just dedicated to being here to help you with your personal problems. And our answers are from a Catholic perspective, something you're not going to get on secular radio. Of course, there's a lot of things on Catholic radio you're not going to get on secular radio. You get nice language and kindness, and you can trust that we will look at all your problems of the day in light of faith, hope, and love. We'll try to treat you in a loving way as well. So I invite you to call today and let me know how I can help you. If you have a question or a personal problem in just living out your faith, a marriage problem, a child-raising problem, an in-law problem. Now, we've got plenty of those, not in-law problems, plenty of those in our family. I just got back from Columbus to a family problem. My brother's doing a conference call with a couple of my brothers and sisters on, and things going on in our family. So I'm sure our family is not unique, and you've got some problems as well. Or maybe just something that's growing in your family. Maybe something at your parish or work or decision. If you just need some help, a second opinion on something, or just those next steps to take to get out of this emotional dilemma that you're in, I invite you to call, because you will decide what we're talking about today. And I'd love to chat with you. Here's the number, 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. I'm an author, a public speaker, obviously a radio talk show host, and I worked many, many years in family life education. I've written a couple books, Love and Life, Christian Sexual Morality Guide for Teens, and with a book for parents and a book for teachers. I've written Sex Respect, The Option of True Sexual Freedom, and both of those are character and abstinence books. I was in Columbus, Ohio this weekend. What an awesome diocese there. What a beautiful conference. More than 1,000 ladies at the Columbus Catholic Women's Convention at the convention center there in Columbus. Their topic was faith, hope, and love. So it was a privilege to be there. And I shared one of my talks, the Four Heart Healthy Habits of Holiness, which gives people an insight into some of my intimate stories from my own life and how God has drawn me to Him through these incidences. So it isn't just about chastity. There's the Four Heart Healthy Habits of Holiness are something that we all have to live through as we face the circumstances of our life. So we had a good day. A lot of ladies say they were inspired by that, and I'd be happy to come to your diocese too and be able to present that same talk. Then in the evening, we had a really fun evening with a bunch of preteens and teenagers and their parents and our Knights and Ladies talk, Knights in Shining Armor and Ladies in Waiting. And that was for 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders and their parents. And we all dressed up in costumes and did little skits. We had Adam and Eve and Knights and Ladies and God and the Devil and Angels. And I have a whole suitcase of costumes. That's why I take the airline that doesn't charge you for an extra suitcase. So I've got everything from grass skirts to angel wings, the devil horns, and the knight's shield and swords and everything. But it's wooden swords, so I can get through security. So that was fun, and it gave, what that talk does is give parents and their preteens a few minutes in between each presentation to talk about those important things. So it enables parents to communicate about stuff. And a lot of the parents were very appreciative because some of those things you don't always talk about yourself. For example, in our Knights and Ladies workshop with the parents and preteens, they take a quiz called How Mature Are You? A 10-point quiz. And then you talk about some of that together. And what can parents do as your coach, your life coach, to help you become more mature over the next few years so you don't end up in a grown-up body with an immature mind and soul and spirit. So that was interesting and fun. So then we talk over the Ten Commandments and the different virtues we need to grow in during puberty. So it was an exciting and fun time. And I got to meet with some other ladies on Sunday afterwards before I dashed off to the airport. So it was a pleasure. All of you in Columbus, thanks for having me there. It's great to be with you, and I'd be happy to come again anytime to give some of the other talks that, you know, maybe the teenage talk, which I didn't do there, or marriage talks, or all sorts of stuff that's available. If you want to hear more about the talks that I give or the books that I write, you can find out more about those at sexrespect.com or respectincorporated.com. Two doors to the same house, Respect Incorporated, where you'll find out about my books, about my speaking, different talks that I give, and some free downloads, those character and virtue songs that go with my parent of young kids talk, the raising kids with character talk. We've got some songs that go with that one. Those are there. Character and virtue songs for your preschoolers, as well as the what to tell your 10-year-old to prepare them for chastity education later on so that they'll be innocent but not ignorant, and that's on there. The 6 M's and the 7 C's for boys, what to tell your 10-year-old. You can download that free off the website at sexrespect.com. But for now, free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective on whatever's disturbing your peace today. So give me a call at 877-573-7825. This is 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on The Doctor Is In. And I'm going to go try to link up my computer over this break, so I will be back to talk to you in just a few moments.
Relax. The Doctor Is In.
As we resolve to serve our families better, perhaps it's time to sit down and talk about the issues surrounding medical care and estate planning. We should make sure our health care priorities are in line with Catholic Church teaching. A wonderful resource is Jerry Bartholomew, a pro-life Catholic attorney and graduate of Ave Maria School of Law. Jerry has a passion for protecting families as they get older. The number to reach Jerry is 800-475-1729. The website, mypriorityplan.com.
Faith, family, and the culture of life. It's Family Man with Catholic therapist Dr. Gregory Popjack.
You've probably heard that kids are resilient, but new research shows they might not be as resilient as you think. A new study shows that prolonged exposure to stress in childhood actually shrinks the parts of the child's brain responsible for preventing depression and anxiety. Stressful situations, ranging from letting a baby consistently cry it out to events like divorce or abuse, cause the body to be flooded with cortisol. In the short term, cortisol helps stressed-out people process information quickly and respond more rapidly. But prolonged exposure to cortisol causes damage to our physical ability to cope with stress, just like revving the engine of your car while parked in your driveway will damage it. This damage then makes a child more susceptible to anxiety disorders and depression as he grows up. The lesson is not that children should lead stress-free lives, but rather that adults must be sensitive to the fact that children literally suffer from prolonged stress and not simply suggest that they can shake off trauma. A mom and dad living together, providing an orderly, loving, affirming, consistent, safe environment is what's best for both children and their developing brains. I'm Dr. Gregory Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
You've been listening to Family Man with Catholic therapist Dr. Gregory Popchak. To discover more resources for living an abundant life, including books, CDs, and Catholic counseling services, visit us online at exceptionalmarriages.com.
Welcome back from The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Here's the number to call to get on today's show, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today. Amy from Columbus, you have a comment from this weekend. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you what a wonderful speaker you are, and you touched my soul, absolutely touched my soul this weekend, and I'm trying to live the four healthy hearts, and starting with the hardest one, which is suffering. suffer courageously first.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you so much, Amy. I appreciate the compliment. I'm glad that it touched your soul and made a difference, because even though it was four simple things, it does help you look at your life and everything that you do in a new way, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Most definitely. I went home and saw my children in a whole different light, along with my husband.
Beautiful. Thanks be to God, Amy. Thank you so much for the compliment. I appreciate it. Glad it was able to help. Bye-bye. I pray in every talk that I give that God will help all these efforts bear fruit, and so I give my all, but I leave the results to Him. So if one life was touched and people go home and look at their children and their husbands in a whole new light, that's God's grace working through you. So I thank Him for the opportunity to be His instrument. So it is, I mean, even when I give this talk, it's a very touching one for me, because every time I give it, it gets more and more personal with my own stories in it and share my own struggles and relationship with God. So it's beautiful to be able to share that. Thanks for the call, Amy. God bless you. Our next caller is Marie from Michigan. Welcome to the show, Marie. How can I help you today?
Yes, hello. I'm not sure you can, but you could try. My husband of 7 years, first of all, I grew up in an abusive family. We never knew. I mean, we knew we better toe the line or we'd get beat with a belt, possibly. Mm. And all of us have some kind of emotional difficulty. And I had a relationship I had to leave about 23 years ago. He was physically and emotionally abusive. First he terrorized me, and then he eventually threatened to kill me. Well, okay, so then I got an annulment with the church, and I got married. So I've been not for a long time, and then just 7 years ago.
So this is your second marriage that's been seven years old. Okay.
Yeah, but the first one wasn't a real marriage. I got an annulment, and I really deserved it. I deserved two. And this time, my husband is a much kinder, controlling man. He's not physically abusive, but there's some control issues. He hasn't put my name on the house, and I finally got fed up, and I told him about almost a year ago, something like that, that I wanted. He said he'd put my name on the house, and it didn't happen, and now it's supposed to happen soon. But once in a while, he raises his voice, and I say, "Don't raise your voice to me. I don't deserve it." Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is this: I've noticed a couple of books at bookstores that I've read, and one is called "Why Does He Do That?" And it's about men that can be controlling, and it talks about a borderline personality disorder. Mm-hmm. And then I found another, and I thought, that sounds like him. Sometimes they can be very tender, and other times they're more controlling. Mm-hmm. And then I read one the other day. I wanted to buy it, but I didn't want to spend $15-$20, whatever it was. So it said how to live and deal with a husband in a relationship who is like this, and I thought, this book sounds like him too, but I didn't want to pay the money. What do you have any suggestions?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
I separated from him. I'm married to him. I mean, we're back together, but a year ago, I separated from him. It ended up for a month, and then I told him I couldn't go back and live that way, and he wouldn't try the RetroVive program. But then he did try the RetroVive program. And I felt like I was being lured by him gradually to come back before the program. It was just like somebody was luring me, the way he was so tender and coming over to the place and bringing me things. And then we went through the program. I thought things got better, but I still don't feel that I deserve to be controlled. And I've even had thoughts. He's much older than me, and I've had thoughts. Well, someday he's going to die. And then I thought, I don't want to think that way. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you talk now.
Okay. All right. So you went to RetroVive. Did you do the follow-up program with RetroVive?
The post-session?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't gotten, I don't know if he's going to go to any support groups, but the next one isn't until March 20th in my area, and I'm planning to go to it. I hope I can make it because I want to go if I have to go by myself.
Okay. Is he aware that his controlling behavior isn't good for your marriage and it doesn't help your love? Does he acknowledge that?
Well, he says he wants to put my name on the house, and I told him I got fed up one night before he was going to bed, and I said, when is that going to happen? When hell freezes over? And I couldn't help myself. It just came out that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you don't want to pretend or live in a false reality.
I have been, because it's been where he can be very tender or he can be I had to learn to stand up to him in this marriage.
And it sounds like you've done that well in being able to say, please don't talk to me that way. I won't allow you to talk to me. I don't deserve that kind of talk. Remember that we love each other. So your first main job, Marie, is to love him, but love is sometimes tough love, when we have to help the person that we're married to see the reality of the situation as it is. So your kindness still doesn't keep you from acknowledging very kindly that the situation needs improvement.
I know. I told him that a few days ago when he got loud, I said, I'm not planning to leave this marriage, I said, but I don't have to stay either. I just let him know that I do have that option. I don't have to stay.
Mm-hmm. What you might just tell him more often is that you love him. Just say, I love you, and I want to do everything that we can to make this marriage work, and I know it's going to take
told
some work.
I have told him that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And I'm glad you went to Reservoir. I think the next thing that you need to do is to continue with your own prayer and your own strength, because God can transform this marriage as he changed water into wine. And some of these small issues and some of these big issues can be cleared up, but it's going to take some work. So the first work is love, to be the best wife that you can be, because that creates in him this awesome kind of mercy and desire that it attracts him to you in a way that says, wow, you're right, I shouldn't treat her that way, because look how loving she is to me. She shows me the love of God, and the love of God shown through you, Marie, is going to be attractive. And then the second thing is, I think you need to get some private counseling. Either see the deacon or the priest at your church, or find a counselor through CatholicTherapists.com. And maybe just 6 weeks of sessions, just some solution-oriented brief therapy, some goal-oriented sessions to help both of you have the verbal skills that it's going to need to make this emotional transition of working toward unity and in your marriage and love in a way that you can function as a married couple is supposed to function. You're doing okay in the things that you're saying now, but I think just maybe 6 or 8 weeks of counseling would be able to help you both in those skills, so you don't become the only person saying, this is how we're supposed to do it, and then he says, oh, I'm not capable. But that'll give you the skills to do that. So I'd suggest get to CatholicTherapist.com at the website, or call your local Catholic church and see if they have some temporary help for you just to get you over this next hump, and then continue to pray and continue to love.
You won't let me ask a question. I wondered if you meant counseling together at the pastoral associate that I've seen about this.
Sure. If you're willing to both go together, that would be the most helpful.
Probably won't be, but then it's better for me to. What I didn't like is how you wouldn't let me say it.
Okay.
I had a question.
All right. That was our producer was on the phone, so he had muted your words, I guess. So. Your question is about the counseling, whether you should both go together or both go separately?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'd see the counselor first together and then see what the counselor says. Usually together is best, so then they can hear what both of you are thinking, you can hear what the other person is thinking, and they'll help you through it. If he won't go, ask if he'll go separately, and then the counselor can help you put it together. And if he won't go at all, at least go yourself, so you'll have those skills to respond.
Well, I can try, but this woman is, I'm going to see if I can make another appointment with her today. That's a good idea. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Marie. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. And I think our next caller is Marie from Pennsylvania. Okay, Marie hung up. Lisa from California, welcome to the show. How can I help you today?
Hello.
Hello, Lisa. You're on the air now.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I was hoping to ask your advice on surrounding confirmation. Our parish doesn't confirm young adults till 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, though, the norm in the diocese is 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried to meet with my pastor. We haven't connected. But I did speak with him briefly after Mass yesterday, asking him his blessing and his permission to have our son Patrick, who's in 7th grade, to be confirmed in a neighboring parish. His initial response was not encouraging. We're going to talk more about it, but I wanted to get your advice on how I can positively present Patrick's case. He's mature. He's been catechized since kindergarten with the Image of God and Faith and Family series. He goes to a Catholic school. But more importantly, I was confirmed in 8th grade, and mm-hmm. I think it's so important that he enter, you know, before he enters high school, to receive the graces of the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in 8th grade is a perfect time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe our diocese even has a confirmation day for the youth in the diocese, and it's an 8th grade gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say one more thing. The response from my pastor was something that he didn't feel that our son would understand all about the sacrament because they do it in 10th grade. And he said something about nature follows, I can't remember his exact
grace
word.
Grace builds on nature, maybe?
That was it, probably. So I'm thinking that the neighboring parish program is all year, and it's an hour a week, that they would have it fit that level, 8th grade.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so do you have any ideas about how I can have him see that would, if
sure.
I get their permission to do it?
The grace builds on nature is that we need a certain level of activity or maturity on our own part, and God's grace works on that. However, from my understanding, historically in the church, at one time, people received, right at the beginning, they got baptism, their first communion, and confirmation all at the same time. So we've switched this over time. So there's nothing wrong with being confirmed younger than high school age. Some parishes have held it up as something that would keep kids coming to catechism longer, as well as help them be a little bit more mature. But grace isn't really something that you earn. So there's nothing theologically wrong with being confirmed, certainly in 8th grade, especially if you appreciate the fact that he needs the grace. They might be concerned that he might quit going to catechesis, so promise that he'll keep going those next couple years, whether he needs, you know, whether he knows it or not, you know, whether he knows that religion or not. But he certainly has, you don't have to earn the grace of confirmation. It's a gift from God. So it's within your right as a parent to go to him, make your plea, and ask him that your son, if he could make an exception to have your son be confirmed at 8th grade. And there's nothing wrong in the church regulations, especially if that's true in your diocese, being confirmed in 8th grade, that would keep that from happening. So I would encourage you to go ahead and make that plea to your pastor. Here we are at the break. We'll be right back with more of The Doctor Is In after this message.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta, and I'm inviting you to join me and Steve Ray and a host of other pilgrims when Ave Maria Radio visits the great churches of Toledo on Saturday, March the 20th. It's a one-day Lenten tour that you're not going to want to miss. We'll stay for Mass at the Rosary Cathedral in downtown Toledo, and then visit with Bishop Leonard Blair, head of the Diocese of Toledo. We'll also travel to St. Patrick's, St. Stephen's, and the Church of the Immaculate Conception, three of the most beautiful churches in the country. And we'll also have lunch at the famous Tony Paco's restaurant. Round-trip motor coach transportation for this exclusive Ave Maria radio pilgrimage is provided, and the cost is only $99 per person. For more information, contact Corporate Travel at 313-565-8888. That's 565-8888, extension 121. Or go to our Holy Toledo website at AveMariaRadio.net.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest, since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Sports Investment Council, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
To the Doctor Is In, where you can get free friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly-Mast, your hostess today, here to help you with your personal problems. Give me a call at 877-573-7825. One line open, waiting to hear from you. I think I've got my computer hooked up here. Okay, next caller is Jean from Michigan. Welcome to the show, Jean. How can I help you today?
Yes, hi, Doctor. Thank you for taking my call. I have a son who is just now a teenager, and I have a moral dilemma about how to advise him. He's asking about, of course, sex at this time, and I personally want to tell him that that is something that, you know, he can do in the privacy of his room. I don't see it as a sin. So I'm having a real dilemma about that, how to advise him and what your viewpoint is on all of that.
Good question, Jean.
Oh, thank you.
That is, I have this all written up in my Love and Life Parents Guide, and I even have some of it from a secular perspective in my Sex Respect Parents Guide, but for the complete answer of that, you might want to get a copy of Love and Life, a Christian Sexual Morality Guide for Teens, Parents Guide, and the student workbook as well for your son. So he'll see the whole...
Love and Life, Christian Sexual... I'm writing it really fast.
Just write Love and Life.
Okay,
and then
bye.
Go to, by me, Colleen Kelly-Mast. And go
Colleen
to sexrespect.com. Sexrespect.com. In order.
Sex Respect, you're saying?
Sexrespect.com.
I'm sorry, I have a little hearing loss problem. Okay, sexrespect.com. Go there and get the book.
Sexrespect.com.
Okay.
And order a Love and Life student and Love and Life parent book.
Love and Life student and parent, okay.
And I'll give you a little rundown of it here, a one-minute version. But what we want to do as we teach our young people about sexuality is the whole meaning and purpose of sexuality is that we are to be a gift of ourselves to another person, back to God. Some people are called to give themselves back to God through a celibate life or a religious life. And some people are called through marriage to give themselves back to God, give their lives back to God with in union with another person. And that relationship, which is marriage, is where they give themselves totally to one another. So our sexuality is to be always other-centered and always offered back to God. Masturbation has nothing to do with that. It's totally self-centered. It's self-pleasuring. And it trains us for the opposite of what God's plan is, which is self-gift. And it keeps us from a satisfying relationship in marriage because we practice self-pleasuring, self-centeredness, and we train ourselves to see that as something for ourselves rather than something for others. So then we approach our spouse in that same way, thinking that our spouse is someone here to pleasure me rather than my total gift of myself, physically, emotionally, socially. You know, it's so masturbation trains you for the opposite, and that's why the church calls it a disorder. You can see it in the catechism under the sixth commandment. It'll talk about masturbation being a sin. It is a mortal sin. It's a serious sin. Once you understand and know that this is wrong and it's self-centered and it doesn't use your gift of sexuality for the purpose God intended this, which is to bring life into the world and to draw a couple closer together. So the purpose of all sex and bring new children into the world. And neither of those things happen in masturbation. So that's why it's a disorder. Now, in the catechism, it'll also say that due to people's immaturity, it's something that people happen to practice, but it's important for your son to work his way out of that. If it's something that he has been doing, it's time to go to confession regularly, do other things with himself, whether it's, you know, use his body for physical exertion and sports or take cold showers, whatever he needs to do, that, so that his own pent-up energy isn't just spent toward sexual energy and self-pleasuring, again, which is the opposite of the purpose of sexuality. So I hope that gives you a short version. But when you get the Love and Life student workbook for him and he reads through the whole meaning and purpose that God intended, he'll be able to see a bigger picture. And then the particular teachings on masturbation will be in the parent's guide that you can discuss together with him.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your comments. I appreciate it. And I'll look for that book.
Okay. Thanks. So essentially, self-centeredness hurts everybody. And I know there are many Protestant teachings and many secular teachings that say, oh, who is that hurting? It's just all by myself and nobody knows about it. But one is the way God made us is that these powers, these pleasures are part of our self-gift to another person. And then we distort both the meaning and the whole essence of that relationship that would come later by training ourselves to be self-centered. So it is wrong. Hope that helps. And then get Love and Life, student book, parent book at sexrespect.com. That'll help you get the bigger picture. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Give me a call at 877-573-7825. Sometimes we don't know why something is wrong or why the church teaches something is wrong. And once we understand it, we say, oh, yeah, we got to see things like God sees them, not just how we as human beings with our limited view see things. So if you'd like to maybe look at that bigger vision, I'd be happy to help you with that. Our next caller is Stephanie from Buffalo, New York. Welcome to the show, Stephanie. How can I help you today? Hello, is Stephanie there?
Oh, I'm Jessica.
Okay, Jessica from Colorado. Go ahead, Jessica. You're on the air now.
I'm sorry. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a little bit of a dilemma. My parents introduced me to this guy who was in their RCIA class because my father is becoming Catholic. My mother is converted to Catholicism about 5 years ago, and I just recently became a Catholic too.
Mm-hmm.
We've been dating probably for about like 2 months or something, and then all of a sudden my parents got really upset because he stopped going to the RCIA classes and basically was not going to go through with he wasn't going to become Catholic. And I'm just, like, devastated by this. I don't know what to do because my parents basically said they don't want you dating anyone that's not Catholic. I mean, I understand what they're, like, why they're doing this, but I don't know. I'm just so hurt by it. I don't know what to do now. Like, I just am at a loss. I just don't know what to do.
Okay. So your boyfriend dropped out of RCIA class?
Yeah, he's not going to go through with it.
Okay, and why did he drop out? Why doesn't he want to pursue?
I don't know. He claimed that he was just doing it just because he wanted to learn. Like, he wasn't really going to go through with it, which I don't understand. I don't know what to.
Okay.
I don't know what to.
Well, it would be helpful for him to take the classes if he has any interest in uniting his life with somebody who's Catholic, so he understands where you're coming from and what your hopes and dreams are in life. And so to drop out, I can see why your parents would say, wait a second, if he doesn't even want to learn about it, whether or not he's going to go through with becoming Catholic, part of his efforts to understand you and the faith that your family lives would grow if he would attend those classes. So you do understand, Jessica, though, that there are a lot of difficulties in mixed marriages. It's one thing if you get married and you're not really living your faith, your family isn't really living their faith, you marry somebody outside of the faith, and then you have to deal with it all the way along. And we have many callers that come in, you know, people with those particular struggles. But if you're just starting out dating somebody and you had a choice between dating somebody that was going to be in line with your values, that wanted your kids baptized, that would go to Mass with you, raise them in the faith, when you face trials and struggles in life and their decisions are rooted in faith, your decisions, whether it's about money or sexuality or decisions about health care, those all need to be rooted in a united set of values, or you're going to be pretending you're united physically but be divided mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So their hopes for you is that you don't have to suffer from division in a relationship that's designed to be becoming one in unity. So that's kind of probably what they're thinking, wouldn't you think, Jessica?
Yeah. I mean, I think it just all happened so fast. Everything was going fine. They're the ones that introduced me to him. They're like, we did this guy in our RCA class that we love, and we really want you to meet him. And then, you know, I think that they're, like, I don't know. I'm just so upset about it. But I just basically forget about it, right? I just not even, it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't, it's not worth it, right, to even...
If he's not even open enough to learn about the church teachings and you've only been dating him 2 months, you might just want to take that as a gift from your parents and move on. It's funny that they introduced you to him in the first place and were enthused about that, and it's confusing. But if you want to truly follow Christ and you have that choice right now and you're not that involved, it might be time just to say, okay, parents, this might be painful right now, but thanks for the suggestion. Maybe it's time to move on.
Okay. Well, I think I know what I need to do. It's a hard thing to do, you know.
It is. You're right. It is a hard thing to do, but it's probably easier at this point than it is when it comes to when you're making decisions, should we get married or not, and do we have the same set of values or not. And he already saw this, what Catholics are about, and he says, I don't even want to learn anything more about it. And so you'd be starting out in the hole.
Yeah, I need to find a nice Catholic boy.
I know. You want to have the best marriage you can have. You want to have the best family life you can have. You want to have the best relationships that you can have. So, you know, try one of those Catholic singles websites or some of the Catholic singles groups in your diocese. And there are a lot of guys out there. Actually, I meet them all over saying, hey, I know one right now. How old are you?
I'm 24.
Okay. There are actually three guys in our parish right now that we have a Catholic singles night during Lent, watching Father Crappy movies and having discussion. There are three guys in there, and a couple of them have said they can't find a good Catholic girl, and they range from 25 to 31 years old. So somewhere in your area, there are some guys in Colorado there that are looking for a really good, practicing, knows her faith Catholic girl. And you need to start praying for those guys, because they can't find somebody like you. And right now you're looking for somebody like them, but they are there. So check with Catholic singles of your diocese and see what's going on, and just hang out with that kind of people. And they're going to introduce you to somebody they know who might be at least the same set of values that you have. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of ironic, because, like, I literally met him at church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just happened all of a sudden. I wasn't even expecting it at all, but I was praying that, you know, God would help me to find, like, a nice Catholic, you know, a guy, someone to date, and then this just happened, and I'm, of course, devastated. I think that's a good suggestion, though, just to, you know, join a singles group or something, or just, I don't know.
Yeah, take it as a learning experience, and thank God for the opportunity to meet him, and he'll start thinking about what he really believes in as well. And whenever we have a dating relationship that that has to end. We just thank God for what we learned from that relationship and move on to ask God to show us what's next.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
All your advice and help.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye, Jessica. This is The Doctor's Inn, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Our next caller is Douglas from West Virginia. Welcome to the show, Douglas. How can I help you today?
Thank you, ma'am, for taking my call, Doctor. I have a complex issue that I want to talk about, and I want to hear what you have to say about it. Basically, I have some sympathy for that caller. If you call back, it comes from an abusive family.
Mm-hmm.
I come from an abusive family with sadistic emotional abuse that's going on, and also molestation. Now, this is kind of difficult, so just bear with me. My sister got the worst of it. Now, what's going on? My whole life has been a wreck. She's actually doing better, but she's blocked it all out. I just know it. I'm afraid for her. But here's the thing. There's somebody else who has a kid who may be vulnerable. I know of at least two people that this one predator, there's a predator and then there's an enabler facilitator, okay?
Okay, within the family, the extended family that you gather and get together with. Okay.
And there's all kinds of evidence. I got physical evidence. I'm willing to take a polygraph. You know, I'm kind of afraid people aren't going to believe me, but I can prove it without a shadow of a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
All the indicators are there. And like I said, there's medical records which aren't mine. They're actually my sister's.
Oh, my.
I'm not going to go into that. I don't want to get too detailed.
Mm-hmm.
What I have done is I reported this to a private investigator. I'm trying to remain anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a lot of conflict. They're going to go to these people and tell them. I've got a lot of conflict about it, and I'm worried about it getting back to my sister.
Now, do you mean... Oh, I see.
I made it clear that I don't want it to get back to her, because she's going to... And my, she ain't dealt with it. I know she hasn't.
Uh-huh.
She's going to lose her mind.
Right.
Yeah, I just know she's gonna come apart, ma'am. And the other thing is, I'm trying to give this to Jesus, but...
Okay, you're breaking up here, Doug. It's hard to hear, you know. But I'll respond to what you've already said. And okay, you're coming in and out.
Sorry, okay, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
And so, like I said, I've been trying to give this to Jesus. It's difficult. It's a whole can of worms. Like I said, I got conflict. I apologize. Serviceable body, I pulled over. I hope you can still hear me. So go ahead. I'll let you talk. I apologize for interrupting you.
Okay. All right. Yeah, your phone's going in and out, so I'll try to respond to this here. That God does want that we work for justice, and sometimes justice and love seem to conflict in some ways, but really justice and love go together. And sometimes this kind of tough love where you have to help people see what is fair, what is right, and face the truth is a bigger kind of love in the long run when people do have to face the consequences of their actions. There's also an important element in what you're saying, that you are protecting other people by exposing these predators and the evidence that you have. So if they, in most social service agencies, as well as legal agencies and the police, they can do this anonymously. So if you can ask them that as much be kept anonymous as possible while you're protecting others as much, the people, the potential prey or victims as much as possible, it would be good to report what you know and allow the people to face the consequences, the people that have been doing harm, to face the consequences or the truth of their actions. Now, the result you seem to be concerned about is that when this is exposed, maybe a person who already has experienced that abuse might have to face it more difficultly. And yes, that's true, but it would be more helpful for them to face it and have some counselors there available and the people from the social service agency or the police department or whoever you're working with would know people that you could refer them to that would be there to help pick up the pieces. But once they face the reality of the situation, they can begin to heal from it rather than bury it. So I would suggest if you're asking, should you go ahead and report this, yes, you should, because it's to protect the people that could be harmed, as well as to help those who have been victims in the past begin to face the reality of their situation and heal from it. So this is both justice and love that you would be a proponent of by reporting this evidence. So it is a good thing to do. It is a responsible thing to do, and is difficult as it seems for the family in the long run. As you give this to God, you ask that he bless this with his grace, that all things turn out for his good in the long run, even though it's going to be messy on the way. So thanks for the call. We're up against break here, and we'll be right back with more of The Doctor Is In after this message.
You're listening to The Doctor. Come in. Pull up a couch. Let's talk. The Doctor Is In.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. It took almost the entire length of the debate at the White House Health Care Summit for the issue of abortion to come up, and when it did, pro-life Representative John Boehner flatly told President Barack Obama that Americans don't want abortion funding in the health care bill Congress is considering. Shortly thereafter, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi misled participants, some might say she simply lied, by making the false statement that the Senate health care bill she, President Obama, and Democrats are pushing through Congress contains no abortion funding. The summit appeared to produce no concrete results. This is Life News Radio. Miracles happen all around us. One such miracle is happening in British Columbia, Canada, where Catholic and evangelical Protestant Christians study in parallel institutions. One university with nearly 40 majors focuses on Christ, informing all study, and it welcomes a Catholic college to study alongside. Any high school student would be wise to examine this miracle. Search the web to see more. Find Trinity Western University or Redeemer Pacific College. The federal ban 2 years ago on partial birth abortions made the pro-life message clear. Abortion kills an unborn child. It may well have been responsible for moving public opinion on abortion squarely into the pro-life category. Now, Nebraska could pique national interest in a new bill focusing on the pain babies feel during an abortion. After 3 decades of leading one of the premier pro-life organizations in the country, Dr. James Dobson is saying goodbye to Focus on the Family. The psychologist turned the organization into one of the largest in the nation by focusing on moral values and tying family members together, born and unborn. This has been Life News Radio.
Welcome back to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, here to help you with your personal problems. Give me a call at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number, if you can follow all those little numbers and letters and match them up on your phone. Michael from Bakersfield, California, you've got a comment on Jessica's call. Jessica called earlier. Broke up with a guy that wasn't Catholic, was looking for, hey, Michael, are you eligible bachelor? We had a comment.
No.
Go ahead.
Well, God bless you.
Thanks.
How you doing?
Good.
No, I was commenting on the girl before him.
Hmm.
She was in the dilemma that her boyfriend was not going to follow through with the RCIA program.
Right.
She should know that, I mean, I'm a cradle Catholic, and at one point in my life, I quit going to church. I never really left my faith, but my faithfulness, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And, for like 10 years, I only went to church, you know, maybe twice or three times a year, if mm-hmm. that, at some point. But, when God called me back, I didn't know it at first, but he did it in a great way. And he brought me back home to where my roots were. And I met a woman who I knew already for a long time. And she says, you want to date me, we got to go to church every Sunday. We're going to church every Sunday. And I was like, every Sunday? I mean, we went last week, right? She's all, no, every Sunday. You go to church every Sunday. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. I can do that because I honestly loved her.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I loved her, I showed it by going to church with her.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if somebody's not willing to do that with you, then they're obviously they don't love you as much as they say they do.
Yeah, good
point.
They
love something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she eventually, we got married, and her leading me, you know, back to the church, you know, faithfully, we got married. She lived her crucio 2 years later. I lived mine 6 months after that.
Mm.
And then we just got the showering of God's blessing upon us. And of course, then the trials came too. But,
yes, of course.
You know, it came to the point where now we are just fully graced with God's mercy upon us. And his graces are just showered upon us. And we're fully involved in the church now. And it's like a total 360 from where I was thinking that, you know, I could know God without the church to now I know, you know, the realization that you can't truly come to God without the church. You know, you need the church and you have to go to church every Sunday if you want to receive God's grace. And so I just wanted to, you know, let her know that she's a devout Catholic. And she's going to lead somebody to God, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be the one that loves her, because
beautiful.
He's going to follow her.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Michael. That's a beautiful personal testimonial, and also, in general, reminds all men and women that they can lead someone who loves them to God, that this human love is always meant to lead us to God's love. And your point was very, very good in that the person, if they love you, they will follow you. And if you're leading them to God, your marriage eventually will be blessed. So I appreciate your call and your comment. Thanks so much, Michael.
Well, you're welcome.
I know that my husband often tells this story in small groups, not 2,000 people like I usually talk. But when we were engaged, or no, we weren't engaged. We were dating, and he asked me to marry him. I said, you know, no. And he said, why not? And I said, well, you're not Catholic. And he goes, you just wouldn't marry me because I'm not Catholic? I said, no, you know. I said, you know, you're really nice and everything, but I'm only going to marry a Catholic. So he said, well, can I become a Catholic? And I'm like, well, that's totally up to you. I'm not going to drag you into the church. I said, if you want to become a Catholic on your own and let me know, you know, when you're going to be, you know, make your profession of faith. He's Lutheran. And I said, then, you know, ask me again later. But I said, I'm not going to drag you into the church or have you come in just because, you know, of me. I said, you have to be Catholic because you want to be a Catholic. But I said, I'm not interested in marrying you unless you are Catholic. So, you know, he says that's the reason he became a Catholic. I even have a friend who came to be more Catholic when he was dating a Catholic girl, and then found that he had a vocation to the priesthood, but it was still her encouragement or her example that drew him to the faith. So, think of the power of romantic love leading someone to God's love. Oh, God can do anything. Good testimonial, Michael. Thanks. Our next caller is Stephanie from New York. I think you're back on here, Stephanie. Welcome to the show. How can I help you today?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, I have a daughter, my fourth, and she's going to be four in a couple of weeks. And she's been on the bottom of a bunk bed with her sister. They share a room.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse me, for about 3 months now, she's been sleeping just fine in there. And all of a sudden, she is afraid of a book, which is a book about the body, the different systems. And she was terrified of the skeletal system. So we talked about how God made our skeleton, and we took the book. She said she's still scared, so we put it in a bag and put it away. But she, her personality is very headstrong, very strong-willed,
mm-hmm.
and we can't keep her in bed. I've tried sitting with her in the chair in the room until she falls asleep. That worked for a few nights, and now she's starting to stretch it out. And when I tried to leave the room about 45 minutes later, she followed me, and she says, don't leave, don't leave. And we try lullabies, we try songs, we try comforting. And it just gets worse and worse each night, longer and longer and longer. And my daughter said, well, I'll come down and sleep with her. So when she comes to bed, she'll get in bed with her. But it's just gone on so long. She'll get up out of bed and chase me. She'll, you know, not stay in her room. She knows how to climb out of a pack and play. She knows how to climb out of the crib. My husband was so frustrated that he rebuilt the crib and put it in there thinking, oh, that'll make her stay in her big girl bed. No, she just...
She needs a cage, right? That's why they were meant to jail. No, just kidding.
Gates do not work because she can knock them right down.
So she just won't stay in bed because she thinks she's still afraid back from the looking at the skeleton and the bones.
Well, she claims that's it, but I think personally she's kind of controlling.
Okay.
Wario can be that way.
So
she tells me that she's the boss of me.
Okay, okay. So we've got something deeper there. How is she in obedience in other areas? Though, you know, when you ask her to do chores, you ask her to obey by doing little things around the house or helping out or getting ready on time, dressing herself. Is she obedient in other areas when you say she's showing tendencies of manipulation?
I also think it ties in with the potty training because she's still not there, and she wants to control that so bad. But I tell her, no, you have to pee, and I say, oh, it's time to try and potty. And she recently is starting, just starting now, to have BMs in the toilet.
Okay. And well, she's going through a transition time right now where she's trying to learn how to control herself, maybe a little late in the toilet area. But it's important that you implement very consistent guidelines with consistent consequences to those. For example, when she... You know, was asked to stay in bed. It's okay for her sister to sleep with her. I think that's a fine thing. But maybe instead of you being there the whole time, just say, I'm going to be with you for 10 minutes, and then I'm going to leave on this tape of music. And then if she doesn't stay in her bed, have some consequences for that. So she learns this self-discipline that she's in charge of something, and what she's in charge of, if she needs to be bossy, is disciplining herself. We're at the end of the show already. Call Dr. A tomorrow.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, Chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
The second week of Lent, so stir yourselves up for some hard work. Lent is the time to confront the sin in our lives and to root it out. Jesus is speaking in today's Gospel to those with ears to hear, that is, those who have sincerely accepted his teaching and want more, who really want to obey and please Almighty God. Hope that would be you listening in right now. Jesus says, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, for the measure you give will be the measure you receive. But I say, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. Give to everyone who begs from you, and as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. That's the golden rule. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those for whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting